In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here, along with John Senecal, and of course, producer Matt Stroys, on occasion is allowed. He's granted release from his responsibilities to join us. He's a Yankee fan, so we're 2-1 Yankees versus Red Sox here on the podcast. Obviously, we're talking today because the reports are that Rafi Devers will be inked to an 11-year, $331 million deal. And the Red Sox, who lost Xander Bogaerts, who obviously traded away Mookie Betts and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a fascinating decision. I have many things to say. I actually want to start off with the two of you, and John, you can go first. What do you think of the specific player, Rafael Devers, and this 11-year, $331 million deal?
So when I look at this deal compared to the other deals that have been flying around, I think this is probably the best one out of all of them based on his age and his value to the franchise. After Bogaerts left, clearly the fan base was upset and the ownership knew that. And I feel like they needed to do that and get him signed. And technically he hasn't signed yet. And I say that because we all know what happened with Carlos Correa. He isn't signed yet. So physicals need to be passed. But looking at all these contracts that have been doled out, these $300 million-plus contracts, you know, to Devers, to like Turner and Bogaerts and Judge, the age thing is the big thing here. You know, that's it. You know, he's 26 years old, so at the end of this contract, you know, he's still in the window.
In his 30s.
Right, yeah. But, you know, there's the interesting thing about this contract is there are no opt-outs and there is no trade clause. So
he can be dealt.
He can be dealt.
Well, I think
that's interesting, though, when you think about it.
Well, that's the trend. Isn't that the trend now? If you're going to give out that much money, you got to give the club some.
All these other ones I've seen recently are full no trade clauses.
Oh, like
they can't be dealt. So that's huge for the Sox.
Because so there is no trade clause.
Exactly. So he can be dealt at any time.
What do you think?
Devers is, you know, obviously an all-star. You know, I would put him in the top five of third baseman in the league, too. I mean, he's just fantastic player overall, and like I said, too, John Henry got booed at the Winter Classic.
You really think that made a difference?
I mean, there's videos on Twitter of people yelling on him on the streets before he got into Fenway, like, sign Rafi, sign, what are you doing, and all this. Like,
you think he's not immune to that?
I don't know if he's
I don't know how anyone could be immune to that.
I know.
Because, I mean, part of it's they own the Pittsburgh Penguins, and so he's just a total hypocritic fraud anyway. He's not, I mean... I mean,
you think of this as a guy like who's not subject to ridicule all the time. Like, he's not a social media person. Like, baseball players get this all the time.
Right.
They don't perform.
He's in his bubble.
He's in his bubble. Now, granted, there's a lot of pressure on the guy, and I'm sure he gets a lot of slack. But when you walk out in front of 40,000 people or 35,000 people, how many other people were there, and you get booed, that cannot feel good for your ego, especially if you're a guy who owns three sports
franchises. But he's a billionaire. You think his skin would be thicker. Here's what I want to say, and this is sort of the take that I think is maybe a little contrarian to what you're talking about, and I want to throw it out there, is that, first of all, I love Rafael Devers. I think he's always got a smile on his face, and he's a great baseball player, and the thing I like about him is he's gotten better. Like, he's improved. His fielding has gotten better. He's still streaky, but he is a dangerous hitter at any time, and so on and so forth. And the age thing is compelling. He's 26. It'll be over when he's 37, and he can be dealt. But here's the thing. When I look at Aaron Judge, now the captain of the team, Bryce Harper, one of the biggest names in the game, Xander Bogaerts, who does a ton of front-facing media, and I don't even know what kind of leader Devers is going to be. All those guys are leaders of the team. So he's always been able to sort of feed off of Xander and, like, hide behind Xander, hide behind, you know, his – and he knows how to – he's a better English speaker, I'm told, than he lets on. But he also doesn't do a bunch of stuff because of the language barrier. And I think there's real value about leadership and being front-facing. And if he needs to change how he approaches –
the macro if he's going to be worth it. Because to me, if he doesn't become the quote unquote face of the franchise, that to me that means talking to people. It means being out front. It means being a team leader, which we have no idea, no clue what kind of leadership skills this guy has. Whereas Xander's been doing it for a long time. You know Bryce Harper. You know Aaron Judge. You know Mookie Betts. And so that's my, I'm all for him staying. And the second thing I want to say is that similar to Judge, him signing with the Yankees didn't make the Yankees better. It just made them more like what they were last year when they didn't win at all. So to me, signing Devers just makes them a last place team with one of their core players. It doesn't make them any closer to anything. So those are my two. I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I'm just saying, like, I cannot give it a rubber stamp positive just because he's 26. I think there's a lot to be determined with what the team does now moving forward. I mean, listen, and I'm going to go off on a rant, and you guys can pick up whatever you want. This just shows me Chaim Bloom is in control, because you say that Henry sort of reacted, but to me it says, you know, Bogaerts is 31. He doesn't make any sense for a 10-year deal, because that's not how they operate, the way they want to operate the team. You're 26. Well, the number crunches, the actuaries can justify it if he's got long-term health. So to me, it's like, okay, so now they start the 2 to 3 year process to build around him. And so we're looking at 2025 or six when they could be competitive, when they can get all these young kids up in the majors and then get some free space. I don't know. You guys take it where you want.
Well, there's argument to be made that with this contract, it technically doesn't kick in until next year, because he's on contract supposedly if for 2023 for 17.5.
No, I think it supersedes it.
No, it doesn't. He's on contract for this year for 17, and then it kicks in after that.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But if not, so listen, there's money, right? There's money if that's the case, which I think it is.
We'll see.
I think I read something different this morning, honestly.
What's that?
I think it does supersede it.
You think so?
Yeah. I saw something that said supersede.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I didn't even know where I read it.
I just heard on MLB Network that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's write it down. We got to work on our fact check. All right, so let's just talk as far as right now, right?
Yeah.
If you have Rafael Devers signed, which you supposedly do, guaranteed for next year, that I guess would not be pending a physical. I don't know. But you also have the Yoshida that you brought in, who I would say you probably overpaid for, my guess. But you do have a little bit of wiggle room with money this year if that contract doesn't go until next year, because you only pay him 17.5. But that being said, there's nobody to get.
Nobody.
So you could say that they might have some help with the money wise, but there's nobody out there to get. So you have to look for the trade market.
They're going to lose 85 games.
Yeah, I still, like you said, the Yankees and Red Sox have not gotten any better.
No.
Right? They still have some holes and they have work to do. I just feel like, you said, the Red Sox are two to three years away from doing something, where the Yankees, if they play like they should on paper, with the addition to Rodon and a couple other guys, they should be better than last year.
I agree with you, yeah. I definitely agree with you. And especially with the Astros losing Justin Verlander, even though he's 40, going to be 40. I mean, he's still, obviously, the AL Cy Young Award winner. Right? He's still very elite. I think they can get over the hump and beat the Astros in the playoffs. I mean, there's no telling with the Mariners getting better in the AL West, especially, too.
I think the Yankees are in trouble. I think Baltimore, I think it was John Means was out last year. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think Baltimore's better. I think Toronto is still the sleeping whatever. I mean, they got so much hitting talent. And you talk about Seattle, even if Houston takes, I don't know. I think the Red Sox are bad and the Yankees are middle of the pack. Even if LeMay, you gotta come back at me with something to convince me that the Yankees are going to challenge for the World Series. I don't see it at all.
I can come back with you. With the team they had last year, they lost to the Astros in the ALCS, right?
Yeah, and they lost.
So they added Carlos Rondon, who's probably a top 10 pitcher, I would
basically
say.
Basically a replacement for Montgomery.
Montgomry wasn't even there. So we're not just,
that's my point. The point is like, really, does he add that much?
Absolutely, yeah. I would think so. If you're adding a top-tier starter to your team and you got there without Montgomery, I wouldn't even factor Montgomery into that.
I do, because they had him and they sold him away for a song. But, I mean, I understand your point. They have a good lefty pitcher.
Look what Montgomery did down the stretch. What the hell did he do for the Cardinals down the stretch?
Nothing.
So did they do anything? I mean, Harrison Bader was a very big factor for the Yankees in the playoffs last year, which showed that once the dude's healthy, he can play.
I'm just super grumpy. The Red Sox are terrible. I'm supposed to be excited about signing this kid for $331 million.
It all comes down to what happens with health. Is the Japanese player going to be able to perform? A lot of evaluators say he's not as good as the Red Sox.
They always say that coming out of Japan. Like, you never know. But that's
the thing. It all comes down to health. If the Yankees were healthy last year and DJ LeMayo didn't get hurt and all the bullpen guys, I guarantee you they probably would have at least went to seven games against the Astros. But they didn't. Injuries screwed them. The Red Sox could have the same thing.
I don't know. I think that if everyone stays healthy and the Red Sox outperform expectations, they win 85 games. You know what I mean? Like, the upside is so limited just because they don't have – where are they going to get power? Where they have no depth in pitching. I mean, if you could have had Rich Hill for $8 million, why wouldn't you have done that?
The pitching is absolutely a problem for the Red Sox. Losing Nate Eovaldi is huge. You don't know what you're going to get from Chris Sale if he's going to come back and go down the next game. And Rich Hill's, 100 years old, but
he'll eat your innings. Solid, yeah. You have Tanner Houck and you have, a couple of young guys who show promise. But, I mean, you need all those young guys to pan out and Whitlock and what have you. I don't know. I just, everyone's like big news about Rafi Devers. And I actually made me almost more depressed because I just feel like, it shows me that they're a couple years away from actually being competitive again. And I think this is
a
setup
for rotation. And Rich Hill isn't even on the Red Sox anymore. He's on the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That was our point.
Yeah. Chris Sale, Pivetta, Whitlock, Kluber, Bello, and Paxton. You tell me one player on there that you have any confidence in that's going to perform. Pivetta is probably your biggest name in that list.
I think Tanner Houck is a real talent. Like, I think he, if you don't mix up his roles and you let him go, like, I think he could be a number two in Major League Baseball. I do. I think Pivetta is just like, he's either going to give you 8 strong innings or get lit up in the second. I mean, I watched him lose 3 games last year, and it was just depressing. So I don't know. I just feel like the Red Sox shouldn't have to be. And I don't think the Yankees have it solved either. Like, I don't know what they need to do, but I always felt like you have, a couple arbitration eligible guys, a couple of free agent signings, and then fill it up with, with some good, smart, sort of sabermetric baseball guys or whatever. Like, I didn't think they had to revamp the entire franchise from top to bottom to stay competitive. I don't know.
I'm looking at the Red Sox lineup and I'm trying to get excited other than,
You can't. You can't.
You got question mark with Yoshida. Justin Turner will never play the full season. He just can't. He's too old. Does he replace J.D. Martinez? Probably, as far as offense-wise, production-wise. Devers, Trevor Story, is he going to be your shortstop? Can he be your shortstop for the full season? Verdugo, will he hit more than 3 home runs this year? I don't know.
What's he going to do?
Yeah, Cassis, has he even played first base?
Yeah, that's where he plays.
He plays? All right, so he's going to... And then Kiki, hopefully Kiki has a bounce back season for you. And who's going to be your second baseman? Is it going to be Arroyo?
They're not good. I mean, they're just not. And again, if the young guys span, I think that Trevor Story will be fine at short. I think Devers, the left side of the infield, could be really good. And Cassis, listen, he is a potential huge, huge talent. I mean, he could be, I'm not saying he's Aaron Judge, but I mean, he could be a Giambi-type impact player. I mean, he could be that good.
Do you think they gave up on Jeter Downs too soon?
I don't understand why they let him go. I don't really get it. Why can't you just keep him on the roster? I don't really understand. And then you look at what they got for Betts. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Well, there's 2 guys left. What, Wong and Verdugo are the 2 guys left.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as much as I like Verdugo,
he's no Mookie Betts, that's for sure.
No, and Mookie Betts is, I mean, we can make this a topic of conversation. I mean, he's arguably the most exciting all-around player in the game. I mean, maybe Trout when he's healthy. I mean, I know Judge is a good right fielder and such, but I mean, Betts is just like, he does stuff on the base pass. You're like, oh my God.
Well, Mookie's that kind of player that, I mean, he can play pretty much anywhere, too. I mean, you could put Mookie at probably any position on that field, including pitcher, and he could probably excel, I would guess. I think he's just a freak of nature talent.
So last question I have for you guys before we go is, out of all the big contracts, going from the Trout with a total, I guess you said the total is 426?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
To Judge with 360 to assuming Correa. I want to know what's wrong with Correa, by the way. You guys heard anything about what it is?
It's something with his leg. Yeah. He broke his leg apparently, like in the minors when he was coming up with the Astros, and I never even knew that. I thought it was going to be about his back. I thought that was the issue.
His back has been the issue.
Right, and no one's mentioning the back, and you would think the back would be the big issue because that's, I don't know. But there's obviously red flags with that, but Is it the fact that the Mets are just like, maybe we can say there's something wrong with this and work
and
it out?
Get out of it. I don't know. Maybe get less money.
I don't think they're going to get out of it, but maybe there's, you know, there's more security involved because I don't think you're going to be able to get insurance on a player like that.
Well, let's just say Correa signs for $300. You know, between Trout, Judge, Harper, Correa, Betts, Seager, you know, all the way going down to Gerrit Cole and Machado, which of those deals you think is the best deal?
Betts has probably got, what, like 8 more years left on his deal? Uh-huh. He's, what, 29, I'm guessing?
Yeah, but he's also not that big. I mean, his body could break down.
You're talking about the best deal for the organization or for
just
the player?
Just out of all of those, I don't know. What, take it wherever you want. I mean, it's just, let's look at it, you know, in the macro. And what I mean, you could make a strong argument for Judge.
I mean, for the player, I would say Mookie Betts. The best contract for him because just long term, and I was taking a bunch of deferred money too, which you know is the
it's
Bobby,
nice.
Which is the Bobby Bonilla way. Just sit back, relax, take that pension, and
because even if you stink at managing money, you're okay.
That's why
I think it's the best thing to do because
it's absolutely the best thing to do. Ken Griffey Jr. is still getting paid by the Cincinnati Reds.
It protects you from being an idiot.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next probably, I would say, 10 years to Major League Baseball teams and how they're going to restructure everything because the deferred money is insane that these teams are doling out. I would argue that in the next 5 years, there's going to be teams that are going to have more deferred money payroll than most teams.
Right, and eventually it's going to be a problem for the business model. But back to my question.
I would say Devers just based on the age, and that is for the organization, not the organization, I would say for the player and the organization, but I would say overall organization, I would say the Aaron Judge with the Yankees just because what he brings outside of baseball. I mean, people will literally just show up to see if that dude's going to hit a home run. I would think, you know, I mean, I don't see people traveling to Boston and being like, I got to go to a game so I can see Rafael Devers.
But he is a player you pay to see. There are very few of them, but he is one of them.
Judge.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So when you look at it as far as overall, I'd say Aaron Judge and probably Mike Trout are the biggest draws for a team. And maybe Shohei, but we talk about him next year when he actually goes to the market. But as far as age and longevity and contract and friendly contract to be dealt, possibly, I would say Devers.
I completely agree with you. Honestly, yeah. Devers, because of the age, 26 years old, that's the wheelhouse that – you want to pay a guy like that is 26 years old. It's not going to exceed 40. And Judge, like you say, I pay to see Judge, Harper, Trout, Shohei, honestly. And I can't wait for next year to see what Shohei. They're already saying $500 million, which is just bananas.
If he stays healthy this year, it's going to be he's going to get himself a hell of a contract. But at the same time, I still feel it's going to be very interesting with how teams evaluate his longevity.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he gets hurt as a pitcher. He can still hit, most likely, because he played through that Tommy John he had, partially played through it as a hitter. But so there's that. But having a dynamic two-way player is what you're going to pay for, right?
Well, what I find fascinating about Ohtani is that, you know, he'll stop pitching before he stops hitting, right? And so if you can get 5 years out of him pitching and hitting and then just put him, even make him a, you know, full-time DH or whatever, you know, as a pure hitter, if you took the pitching out, he's probably, what, a $25 million player?
Yep.
And so you're paying up front for what you get, and you're paying for, if it's a franchise like Seattle, which has, you know, I just think, like, that would, if you take him to New York, it doesn't make as much sense because you're already selling a lot of tickets.
Right.
If you go to a place that has great infrastructure and good talent but not selling the tickets, that's the place that I think really would be value for a guy like Shohei Ohtani.
Seattle would be huge for him. The way that team is built right now for the longevity and talent-wise, oh, my God.
And they're a potentially popular national-type team.
Yeah.
People like the Mariners.
They have a newer ballpark, too, and the city is, you know, popping. They love the Mariners right now.
Yeah, I would argue
it would only be better for them, man. Yeah. Holy cow.
So I actually think that the Judge contract, believe it or not, even the number value is so high, I like it even better. Because I don't take the Devers thing based solely on the age thing, as I told you the reasons as I laid it out earlier in the podcast. I think Judge is one of those players, but I actually feel like the rest of the league should subsidize the deal. because I think that he is a player you go to see, and you'll get 5,000 more in Tampa. You get a couple more thousand wherever you go just because of him. It's almost like unfair. There should be more revenue sharing with Judge because he, I think Harper to some degree, definitely Trout. But I even think Betts. I don't think people pay on the road to go see Mookie Betts play. I think he's an awesome player for baseball purists, but I don't think people like go out of their way to pay for it.
People pay for the Dodgers.
Right.
No, but I mean, people aren't, you know, when he goes to Kansas City or whatever in the National League, if he goes to Arizona, you know, like, let's go to the game tonight. I want to see Betts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do that with Trout. You do that with Judge. I do that kind of with Harper.
I would say Harper. Yeah. I would put Harper in there.
Yeah.
But there aren't many. So in that sense, I think Judge is a gift to the rest of the league. All right. Final thoughts here. Anything else you want to get out of your system before we're going to start bringing in some guests. You know, we got Willie Yan coming on. Rico Bronya is going to come on. Hopefully your buddy Bobby Dickerson is going to come on. I can't wait for that. And we are also working. It turns out that umpire, you know, that we're connecting to the major, he's just part of that group that retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're going to see if we can get him in to talk, you know, maybe a little more candidly about being replaced by machines. So that's it for episode 102, unless you got something to say.
84 days till opening day.
84 would depend if you're...
Get rid of Josh Donaldson and Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, how are you going to do that? Maybe the Red Sox will take him if you take all the salary.
Well, very easily if you want to eat their salary. Just let
them go. Maybe the Yankees are going to have to pay for something.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody's taking those two clowns.
You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.